Daniel chapter 6. We will finish our series in Titus, Lord willing, in the next two Lord's Day evenings. But tonight I wanted to look at this familiar story together, this well-known story. Kids, this might be one of the ones that you really enjoy, Daniel in the lion's den. But we're not going to look at the whole story so much tonight. We're going to focus in on one small detail that might be easy to pass over in verse 10. So I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter, Daniel chapter 6, but again, we'll circle back and spend most of our time on verse 10. Let's hear God's word together once again. Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And he came near to the den where Daniel was. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's stop and pray to him together. Father in heaven, you are the living God, and your kingdom shall never be destroyed. You are the God who rescues and delivers. And we ask now that as we hear this story of a time you rescued and delivered, that you would enable us to hear with faith, that you would apply your word to our hearts, that you would give us eyes to see Christ. Lord, as we sang earlier, as we heard earlier in Psalm 119, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Lord, we pray that you would work in us by your word. We pray that you would make us a thankful people. And we pray that we would not hear and quickly forget. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel in the lion's den. It's an amazing story. A memorable story. A well-known and well-loved story. A story of courage and faith. A story of survival, reversals, prayer, a story of God's miraculous answer and his power, his ability to save and intervene, to stop even the mouths of ferocious lions. Ultimately, a story of his triumph over the power and the schemes of wicked men, the power of his kingdom. But tonight, I want to zoom in on a seemingly minor detail in this well-known story. I want us to look closely at verse 10 tonight and consider not so much Daniel's prayer, but a small yet significant part of that prayer. Really just three words. "And gave thanks." Listen to verse 10 again. "When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open to Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously." Now, this is no minor detail. This is major. It reveals the very heart of this man of faith, a man of thanks, a man who lived his life with such a conscious and continual awareness of the reality of his God, the goodness and the care of his God, So that even in a time of crisis, when faced with losing everything, he gets on his knees before God and he gives thanks. Here's a man of a distant time, in a distant land, long before Christ came, who had earthly reasons to worry, to question God, to even despair. But instead, he's praying to God and he's given thanks. He learned to live, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, before it had even been written. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Daniel also foreshadows for us the faith and the thankfulness that we see in the life of Jesus, who faced similar and yet far worse trials. But why was Daniel thankful? How could he be at such a time? And what can we learn from this work of God in him, in this point in his life? That's what I want us to consider tonight from this exciting and encouraging story. Daniel was a man of faith and prayer and thankfulness, as was Jesus. And in Christ, you can and you must be as well. And so let's look at Daniel as a picture of Jesus, as an example and an encouragement in faith to give thanks to God, to give thanks to God in all circumstances. The people of God, give thanks to him at all times. Well, to consider Daniel's thanks and to learn from it together tonight, I want you to notice first how this was private thanks. Private thanks or personal thanks. Verse 10 again says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. First thing to notice about this thankfulness that Daniel expresses here is that he's all alone. No one's watching, or at least so he thought. This is not prayer, this is not thanks to be noticed by men. It's not prayer in public, it's private. It's in his own home, one-on-one with God. It's the close fellowship of a man before his God when no one else is around. This is personal communion with God, private thanks to God. You've all probably experienced times where you've gone around with others and expressed praise and thanks to God. Maybe you did that this last week. And those can be edifying experiences, but it can be somewhat easier to thank God when everyone else is doing it and when it's expected of you. But would we be thankful if no one else was there? Would we thank God? Do we thank God when only he hears? True thankfulness flows from the heart and is expressed even when no one else is around. It comes face to face with God and expresses gratitude directly to him. A lot of people encourage the idea of thankfulness, although not necessarily to God, but thankfulness is generally seen as a positive thing, and not many people protest Thanksgiving Day, for example. But how many know such intimate, daily, heartfelt, personal, and private thanks as we see here in the life of Daniel? We can and we should say that we are thankful to God before men, but it can be easy to go through the motions. It can be easy to give thanks at church. It can be easier to give thanks at this time of year. But are we thankful when we are all alone with God? Are we thankful to him in private? Does God hear thanks from you personally? Does he hear it often? Does he hear it ever? Just from you, from your heart. Do you get on your knees before him and give him thanks? Now, Daniel was a very successful public figure, we could say. The king wants to make him in charge of his whole kingdom. Verses 3 through 5 say that he had an excellent spirit. He was trustworthy. He was above reproach. He was faithful. But behind the public figure, behind the public faithfulness and success was a fervent private faith, a private communion with God. And rarely do people rise above in public who they really are in private. And in private, Daniel was a man of faith. And that faith expressed itself in regular thanks to God. And this is one of the keys to his public effectiveness and faithfulness by God's grace. But what about you, brothers and sisters here tonight? Do you give thanks to God? Do you have a real personal relationship with God, a private relationship with him where you communicate with him and thank him? Does he hear you praising and thanking him when no one else is around? Daniel was much like Jesus, who would often withdraw and pray in private. And undoubtedly, he would thank his Father in private. He tells us to go into our rooms and shut the door and pray to our Father in secret. And friends, if you are to give thanks at all times as Daniel and as Jesus, then you need to learn to give thanks to your God in private. You need to learn to thank God when you're all alone before him. You need to cultivate this close fellowship with him. Well, the second thing I want us to notice tonight about Daniel's thanks is that it was also perpetual thanks. Perpetual thanks. Look again with me at verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Ignoring the new law, ignoring this very real new threat that he no doubt knew was aimed at him, Daniel is resolute and he carried on with life as usual. And life as usual for him meant daily prayer. On his knees, facing Jerusalem three times a day. This was his pattern. This was his regular practice. This wasn't anything new. And the end of verse 10 makes this clear, as he had done previously. This wasn't a man in crisis praying as a last resort, but a man turning again to his God in a regular rhythm that he had learned and practiced over a lifetime. You may not realize it, but Daniel is actually an older man now. At this point in his life, he's likely in his 70s. But he is pressing on in the faith. He is finishing strong, if you will, with perpetual prayer and thanks to his God, as he'd always done. And this new law, this new threat that meant his reputation, his career, his very life was in danger, doesn't throw him off from his old pattern. Because of his discipline and faithfulness by God's grace and his flawless record that his rivals noticed, they knew that they couldn't catch him in any fault. And it reminds me of Jesus. His enemies could find no real fault in him, no real accusations. And Daniel was so predictable in his devotion to his God and to God's law, they had to bring him down there. That had to be their point of attack. He was a devoted man of prayer, praying and thanking God daily. And so they used that against him. And they craft this law to catch him in that very act of devotion. But Daniel is not going to let the schemes of jealous men cause him to stumble or to quit his pattern. He won't let the law of man overrule the law of God or quench his thanks to God. His God was the real God, the living and true God, his creator, his redeemer. And he needed his strength daily. He was worthy of perpetual praise and thanks in a regular way, as was his practice. And so up he went to his chamber, and down he went on his knees, and he prayed 3 times a day. He knelt to express humility and reverence, to remind him of the glory of God. It's really a posture of submission and of need. And he opens the windows and faces Jerusalem, not because he wanted to be seen, not because of superstition, but to lift his heart and his thoughts to the God of heaven, the God of Israel, to remind himself that he belonged there. He belonged to the Lord, not to Babylon or to Persia. It was also out of obedience to what God had said through Solomon at the dedication of the temple, that if they were in exile, they should pray to God towards Jerusalem, not forgetting him, not forgetting his promises and his covenant relationship with them. And so each day, facing Jerusalem, he prays and he thanks God 3 times, not because this was required of him, not because he was a legalist trusting in his piety and in his outward righteousness, his discipline and his practice, but because he wanted to. Because he loved his God. He needed this communion with God because it's good to give thanks to the Lord. Because perhaps he'd found it to be a pattern that kept him close to the Lord, humbled and encouraged him and helped him to live a life of faith and thankfulness. People are often averse to such discipline and rhythm and rigor in the Christian life and think that it's more godly and loving to be spontaneous. And being spontaneous is not wrong, but spontaneity often means sparsity. Daniel knew his own weakness. He knew his wandering heart. He knew the greatness of his God. And he chose to regularly, perpetually go before him in prayer, in praise, and in thanks. He had found a way to live out 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and following. Or Philippians 4, rejoice always. Do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Perhaps Daniel knew and maybe even sang Psalm 55 verse 17, which we sang earlier, which speaks of praying in the morning, in the evening, and at noon. Maybe he had learned that regular thanks was a way of overcoming temptation and sin. It was a way to combat pride and worry and doubt, anger, or self-pity. A way to help his heart be content and trust in God. Well, it's clear that thankfulness was not an annual thing for Daniel. It wasn't an occasional thing for Daniel. It wasn't a self-righteous outward practice. It was a habit of grace, a perpetual godly discipline, a pattern of devotion to his God, part of a living relationship with his Creator, an attitude that had been cultivated many years. And brothers and sisters, this is something you and I should seek to cultivate as well. Do you have a pattern, a practice of regular prayer, of regularly giving thanks to God? Do you give thanks to him often, daily? Would even your enemies know this to be an important part of your life because of your faith and your love for God? Well, we see Daniel giving thanks in private. We see him thanking God regularly and daily. And I want you to notice, third tonight, that this was a peculiar thanks. Peculiar thanks. Look again with me at verse 9 and following. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Daniel is facing the death penalty. His very prayer could get him killed. Not just killed, but killed in a horrible way. And yet he walks right into it. His prayer is peculiar because of that. Because the very act of praying could get him killed. But even more peculiar, even more puzzling, is his thanks. I think we can understand him praying under these circumstances. But giving thanks? For what? For the threat of death by lions? For this persecution by his peers, by these jealous men? There's something very peculiar about Daniel giving thanks in this situation. Why would he give thanks? How could he? Now, certainly he had much to be thankful for in his overall life. He was one of the most powerful men in all the world, as God had put him in that position. God had helped him be successful and be faithful. He could be thankful daily for his salvation from sin, for daily bread, for the promises of God, for the coming Messiah. But his thankfulness at this point is striking. He knows that this may be his last prayer. He knows that he very well could be caught and reported and sent to the lions. But it doesn't stop him from prayer. It doesn't stop him from giving thanks at all times and in all circumstances. And we may wonder why he didn't just pray in secret this one time. Why he didn't just pray in his heart or keep the windows closed. Maybe just wait it out for 30 days and maybe even mentally decide he could have a greater impact if he just survived this time. How many of our churches would notice or really be all that thrown off by a 30-day ban on prayer? Is thanks that important to us that we would sooner go to the lions than miss an opportunity to worship God, to thank God? What explains Daniel's courage, his commitment, his thanks under these circumstances? Well, it wasn't that Daniel was some spiritual giant, a Bible hero that we all look up to, but we can't live this way. This is out of reach for the rest of us. The key is Daniel's God and Daniel's faith in his God. And that key is found, is reflected in verse 23. Verse 23 says, "Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God." His trust was in his God. Daniel was a man of faith, and he had put his faith in God. Hebrews 11:33 echoes this. It says, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." Through faith. Daniel prays. Daniel gives thanks. Because Daniel believed in his God. Daniel's faith was fixed in his sovereign God. Daniel trusted in God. And that faith drove him to prayer. That faith gave him a calm in this time. It gave him reason for thanks, even in the face of death. He was trusting in God and God's sovereignty. A.W. Pink once said, "Yes, give thanks for all things, for our disappointments are but his appointments." Daniel believed that. He believed that God was sovereign, that God was the living, all-powerful God, as Darius confesses at the end of this chapter. And so this trial, this very real threat in his life, was under what was God's will. It was under God's control. And God could bring him through that if he wanted. And so he could be at peace. He could give thanks for God's plan, for God's care, for God's power and purpose, even without knowing what exactly that might be. And brothers and sisters, you and I trust in and know the same God. This faith, this kind of thankfulness and calm and peace is not out of reach for us, because ours is the same God, and we lay hold of him by faith as well. And the parallels with Christ here, the shadows of Christ, are so striking in this story. Think about Jesus. His life was also sought by those who could find no fault in him. He was also sentenced to death, but not for breaking God's law. His tomb was sealed as the lion's den was sealed. Jesus conquered death, even as death is conquered in a way here, averted by God for Daniel. And Daniel emerges from his would-be tomb victorious, like Christ rose again. But consider some of the last moments of Jesus' life before his death. He spent them, like Daniel, in prayer. And he, too, even gives thanks. Listen to Mark 14, verse 22 and following. "As they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it, and he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many.'" Jesus is looking death in the eye at the shedding of his blood on the cross as he lifts up that cup. A most terrifying death, the death of an innocent, and yet he stops and he gives thanks to God. How could he, knowing what was coming, knowing that he was facing the cursed death of a sinner, knowing that God's back would be turned on him, God's wrath would be poured out on him, and yet he's able and he's willing, he wants to thank God. He's not just going through the motions. He's actually offering heartfelt thanks to God, like Daniel. And his is even more peculiar and astonishing, because he is the Son of God on the eve of something far worse than a den of lions. He's offering thanks even as he prepares to offer his life as a sacrifice. But Jesus can give thanks at that point because he knows his Father. He knows that God is sovereign. He knows his plan. He knows the goodness of God. He knows the gospel. He knows what his death will accomplish. That shed blood will secure the salvation of many. And so he gives thanks in all circumstances, in the most pivotal, trying circumstances, the most glorious circumstances of all history. And brothers and sisters, because of his shed blood, because Daniel's God is your God, because his dominion is everlasting, and he is living, and he's good, and he's gracious, you too can give thanks in any circumstances, in every circumstance, every day. Nothing can separate you from his love. from his grace. Nothing can change his plan. Not a bad day, not great pain or loss, not sickness, not trial, no king, no den of lions, no schemes of the wicked or Satan himself. Not even death can take away the grace and goodness of our God, or reason upon reason to thank him. How could Daniel give thanks? How can you and I be people of sincere, regular, even peculiar thanks at all times? Well, it's because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's because Jesus saves. It's because what he gives can never be taken away. And the God of Daniel is your God. And he is good. And he is gracious. And he gives us undeserved blessings. Us as sinners, every day, every moment, and for an eternity to come. He's worthy of praise and thanks. He's glorified in the thanks of his people. And so, brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Be reminded, be challenged tonight by the private, perpetual, and even peculiar thanks of Daniel to cultivate such a life of faith and thanks yourself through the grace of God, because of his grace, through Jesus Christ, by faith. Give thanks daily before your God. And even in the face of great trial as Daniel, you'll have reason and you'll have desire to thank him. People of God, give thanks to your God at all times. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for